Your name's Mark Dugan.
Yeah.
You do Putrefire. Could you like give me an introduction to kind of like your history as an artist, what you do, and how you got involved in noise, like to begin with, and around when it was?
I started about, well, from doing noise or from sort of just influences and stuff. Probably from about 1983, I was listening to a lot of, there was a radio show called that John Peel had in England. He used to play things like Throbbing Gristle and TG, SBK and Club DBA and Cabaret Voltaire, and I kind of listened to that sort of stuff. And from that period, I was still at school at that point.
What school did you go to? What did you major in? Did that have an influence on noise at all?
No, I probably flaked out of school through probably not studying enough and listening to music, really. Yeah, I was kind of interested in electronic music, and I was into DAF and you know, just sort of like electronic music that was around the time of the early 80s.
What was it about electronic music that appealed to you?
It was quite a sort of new sound for me, so I was kind of interested in the just the way, even like stuff that was in the charts, you know,
yeah,
so like, you know, crap like, you know, that like Depeche Mode or that sort of shit, you know, that was around there. It was kind of like, you know, I kind of like the synthesized sounds, but I got into sort of, I liked it more refined, so I got into stuff like Nursing Wound and Cabin Organization stuff and Broken Flag and that sort of stuff. I think that was like the initial sort of influence that I had from a younger age. It kind of had to sort of have a bit of an edge and sort of, I kind of like, for instance, like a label like Broken Flag, you know, it's just my interpretation, but it's not my views. I mean, like, I think Gary Mundy, you know, who did Broken Flag, I mean, I think he's kind of quite, you know, he's quite a politically astute sort of person, but I think it was kind of like the way it was delivered was kind of more in a libertarian kind of view, and I kind of liked that. I mean, it seemed to be more refined than it did in, like, Come Organization, which was a bit more, you know, the politics.
Okay.
And
yeah,
the,
so we thought what you were looking for.
Oh yeah, I think
it could be sort of judged a bit more harshly, and it was kind of quite, I don't know, I suppose it was quite sexist, and
yeah, no, they had like a bar on that door and
yeah,
shit.
And there was all that stuff about it being racist as well, but I kind of like the libertarian aspect of how electronics is moving, but I didn't like the idea that it was kind of quite, it didn't really have a broad scope, really. I kind of liked that, for me, the harshness had to take a different meaning, and I kind of liked quite acoustic sounds as well, and I discovered other things that were harsher in that realm, but not overtly electronic, so things like I don't know, New Brigade, Asperial Compass, that sort of thing.
But like music concrete at all?
Yeah, I mean that's certainly, as I got interested in it, the music concrete stuff was a definite influence, but that kind of came later on. I was like a teenager, and I was kind of more into sort of, I was into punk as well, so it was kind of like any sort of kind of, anything that was quite agitated, and also the punk that I was interested in was quite politically correct as well, so it was kind of
punk was politically correct, or?
Yeah, and it was kind of like I liked something stripped down, you know, in order to not be dictated in the thinking that I should have. So that's why I was more interested in experimental stuff.
Speaking of the politics of Broken Flag, you had a release on there,
yeah.
In your early years. You kind of had a different vibe going for like the cover and the title. Could you explain like what your intent was with that?
I think it was like there was quite a lot of other groups working in a similar sort of realm. It's quite a very ambiguous sort of message, which I kind of liked. I mean, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't a definite, I mean, in that point, things were quite changing. There was kind of like quite a standardized sort of method in paralectronics, and I didn't really want to, I liked the influence of paralectronics, but it wasn't something I wanted to follow. I wanted to sort of do something else with it. And I kind of liked the harshness of like acoustic music that was used in sort of like the later Broken Flag stuff, in order to make, you know, a different sort of standpoint in that way. So I mean, I think, you know, even like calling myself Putrefy was probably something to do with you know, some of like the sort of death metal bands around the time, you know, like Napalm Death and Carcass and bands like that. But it kind of, I mean, it was, I wouldn't say it was an overt influence, because it wasn't, because I was kind of quite aware of that, and I didn't want to be part of that sort of thing. But I could see the way the sort of themes were going with that sort of music.
What about, you only had one release on Broken Flag. Did you, you didn't go back for any more? Was it because they were winding down, or...?
Yeah, I think Gary was kind of, I got the impression he was, you know, he wasn't going to do it for much longer. My first cassette that I released for him, the first cassette that I did on my own label, he really liked, so that, and I sent it to a few other people, and, you know, I got really positive reactions from it, so that's like kind of spurred me on, and he said, do you want to release a cassette? And I said, yeah, I'll do one. And I just did it straight away. It was kind of, I had really very basic techniques. I mean, I didn't really have a lot of knowledge of recording. And, you know, it was all done at home. It wasn't done in a studio. I mean, it probably would have certainly benefited from a lot more technicality at the time. But I was young. I used the cheap, shitty cassette deck, so it just didn't really sort of. I mean, the ideas were forming, but they weren't as kind of. They didn't come out as much as I'd like to. But I think the cassette that I did for Broken Flag, I certainly. The noisier aspects of it, I'm really happy with it, and I should have continued with it, but I kind of shelved it for a while. I kind of had minimal amounts of equipment, so I kind of lost inspiration a little bit, until I started, I did some recording with Frank from, who Anthony DeFranco plays in Ramblay, and did stuff with Ethnic Acid, and I released some of his stuff on my label, and I quite liked his stuff, so we did some recordings again. We released the Pray for Fire 7-inch, which was a collaboration between both of us, which is kind of like a bit of the last sort of like paralectronics thing I really did, really, which sort of was recorded in 1988, so it came out a few years later, but
So you've been recording noise for like over 20 years now. What are you still finding that you can do that's new and interesting to you?
I'm just interested in just building equipment, and just basically when I play live especially, you know, I just like to change the sound as much as possible, you know. When I'm playing, I don't like it to stand still for very long. I like to give it a pace, as long as it cuts up and, you know, and people find it interesting. That's kind of what I go for. I find it interesting, and I think other people hopefully will find it the same.
Are you also interested in more minimal noise, like drone and stuff? I mean, do you listen to that? Does it have an influence, or is it mostly harsh, cut up, fast noise?
I like a lot of, I wouldn't say I'm so much into minimalist stuff. I appreciate stuff like Fluxus stuff, and I like a lot of old composer stuff. I mean, I like Stockhouse, and I like the French label on AGRM, you know, a lot of, you know, Francois Bell, Parmigiani. That didn't really have much of an influence at the time. It's kind of like that kind of like later influence, really. And I kind of like, I think I try to sort of keep like a music concrete ideal when I'm doing noise. Again, you know, I'm trying to sort of try and do cut up as much as possible. And saying that, I work with a lot of loops at the moment, so it's kind of like chopping and changing stuff all the time. So it's kind of like, you know, trying to give an impression of like pace and change through what I do.
So this is the, I'm not sure how many times you've toured the US, but I know this is at least the second, because I saw you on your first time.
Yeah, I mean, I've been here a few times, but it's only since I got a proper setup. And I've traveled in the UK, I've always used loads of equipment, which has kind of been such a headache. And I've tried to minimize that. I mean, I'd mess around with a lot of electronic equipment and try and expand it in a certain way that's good for me. So.
My next question was going to be like, what do you think the importance of touring and live noise is, and when doing noise? Do you think it works just to make noise in the studio, or do you think it's important to tour and experience it live?
I play a lot more than I ever record. I'm very fussy about recording. I've commissioned for like that few LPs at the moment. I find it so difficult trying to compile stuff, because it's a document, and I'm not interested in sort of churning stuff out. I mean, I don't want it to be like a proper benchmark, but that might be a bit too kind of full of myself, really. But it's a benchmark for me. I like to kind of, as far as how I work, I don't want to repeat ideas to any great extent. Because I want to see it as like a body of work, as opposed to sort of like churn it out, release loads of CDRs and stuff. I kind of don't really want to sort of flood the market in that respect. I want it to sort of make an impression, you know. If I release something, it's kind of saying something about how the project's progressing in some way, as opposed to, you know, especially like, what is it, 24, 23 years since I've been doing it,
right.
And I don't really want it to, I mean, you know, I do solo stuff as well under my own name, and that's kind of more sort of concentrated, sort of in a quieter way, you know, in order to sort of get my ideas across. And it's a good vehicle for me to do it under my own name, and I like Futurefy, I've done it for so long. I mean, I was a teenager when I first thought of the name.
And you're still comfortable with the name? You still think it represents what you're doing?
I think it's good. I wouldn't say I'm comfortable with the name, but it's just a continuation, really. I mean, I just like it to, I still have an influence in noise, and I don't think it will ever go away, but I like it, you know, I don't want it to stand still at the same time. I want it to sort of progress in a way. Like I say, I want it to sort of have an impression, as opposed to sort of just, you know, churn stuff out when I have so much at home.
That almost seems like a reflection even on your musical style, saying you want to keep things moving and different. in each of your tracks too. You want to keep things interesting. Is it kind of similar with your overall discography? And
It's got to. If I don't find it interesting, I mean, I got loads of recordings of stuff at home, but it's just like the masses of CDRs and stuff and stuff that probably will never see the light of day. And I'm still kind of an underground sort of name, really, as opposed to sort of a lot of other people that are doing that sort of thing. I don't really feel that the need to, just release something for the sake of it. It needs to be good in my eyes in order for someone else to sort of listen to me. Because I'm probably my own worst enemy in that respect. I just want people to find it interesting.
Yeah. For being in the, into noise for as long as you have and things, what are your reflections on how noise has changed, the noise scene or whatever you want to call it, however you've even been involved in it, whether it's been like tape trading or whatever, I mean, how do you feel like it's changed over the years? Do you feel like it's different than back in like the 80s when you started, or?
Yeah, because there wasn't really many people doing it when I was, especially around, when I was doing noise around sort of mid-80s, it was kind of petering off at that point. I think it only got to about early 90s when there was a Japanese noise scene, and I kind of felt quite invigorated about sort of that scene again, because it kind of reminded me of sort of like the old noise that I used to listen to, that obviously a lot better recorded. And
what did you think when that first happened, the Japanese noise scene? I mean, when you first heard what they were doing over there, were you interested in it, or was it something that you were like, this is kind of done before?
Straight away, I was very interested. I was into things like those good alchemy CDs came out. I love the packaging, it's like Inga Pastens and EJ Mertzberg as well. It kind of, the packaging of it, like for instance like World Records, I just kind of, it kind of really suited my, I suppose they're kind of exotic sort of sleeves, but it kind of set it up. I like the way that it wasn't like a Xeroxed photocopy, which is kind of, it's gone full circle now, because nowadays people love that sort of
trying to be retro and going for the Xerox high contrast,
really low sort of like aspect of it.
So was your feeling that had been done before and it was that period was over, or?
It was kind of like, because I'd gone through listening to all that, iPhone and Broken Flag and Come Organization, and it was all kind of like, I like the idea of those, because it was all kind of limited edition, and it was kind of like as if it was like some kind of, CD top shelf magazine, but in a record form, and I kind of don't, I'm kind of coming around to that idea again, but it's kind of like different for me, because because it's a whole different scene of people into that sort of stuff.
You're coming around to the idea of more like lo-fi aesthetic but tastefully done, is that what you're saying?
I appreciate what people do, but I'm kind of, it's just, I don't want to be judgmental on what people do. It's kind of like,
you have your opinions. I mean, everyone's coming from a different angle on it, so,
So that's kind of why I'm sort of interested. I mean, I go full circle on stuff, really. I mean, I just heard, some of the new hospital things, I kind of quite like. It's kind of like, because it is well recorded. I like stuff that's well recorded. And, I'm probably guilty of that as well. I mean, my 4CD box, it wasn't, I appreciate your review of it. And I think some of that is sort of too kind of rushed, and the quality isn't really there in a lot of places. And but I like to, I'm trying to sort of.
There's a point where you got to just be like, this is it, and like, I'm cool with this, and just get it out there, and you can't keep refining something, right?
Birthbyte was set up as a distribution, really, and it was like a label. It started as a label for me to put my own stuff out and some other people. I mean, I released like a few Ethnic Acid cassettes and a Pure cassette. And I just, the stuff that I was distributing was like Mertzbo and like Dom in America, like HNAS, and bands like Splendor Geometrico as well, and just Feral Confine, Andrew Chalk, that sort of stuff. So it was like a vehicle for my interest
Cool.
of music that was around at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, I just wanted to... This is around... the labels started off properly about 1987.
Okay.
And a lot of European stuff, Corn Plastics as well. So it was kind of just, it was my own interest in sort of like multimedia, like Force Mental magazine, the Club Morrow magazine. You know, so I was interested in kind of multimedia arts and that, and like, you know, actionism and sort of performance art as well.
Cool.
So it was kind of the label was like a big for that, really, like nail art as well. So it was kind of, I didn't want it to be specifically for music alone. It was kind of
it wasn't just buying and selling, but kind of the whole entity was an art project.
Nobody in the UK was doing that at all. There was very few labels in the UK, and especially around sort of like late 1980s, it was like virtually unheard of. So, and then I kind of stopped for a little bit. I moved away from where I was living, and I moved up to London, and kind of did other things. So it was kind of
so
life change, really.
You kind of abandoned that project? The distribution?
Yeah, I did, and then I started distributing all the Alchemy, well, a lot of the Alchemy Noise stuff, and, you know, Endorphin Factory, and the Sauna, and Vinyls, and Geisha, and that was kind of like, that was, you know, it wasn't a heard of thing in England at that time, so it was kind of probably a personal sort of to get people, because, you know, obviously it was interesting, so I just, you know, wanted other people to hear it. So.
Could you explain the mail art part of it? Was that like collage work and
a lot of
propaganda
labels kinda. I mean, remember magazines like ND from Austin, Texas, I'm not sure if it was the sort of like stuff that was around at that time, that was, you know, especially like Force Mental magazine. I had a Ulick Zone magazine, and just people's thoughts, and I'm not even sure if it was like there was some poetry and stuff there as well, but it was kind of like just people, like, you know, working in the fringes a bit more, you know, sort of like a bit more of it wasn't kind of sound poetry or anything. It was kind of like more sort of extreme thoughts, I suppose, but I know that's kind of like, that's why I'm not too akin with what people do now.
Those concepts and stuff, I assume you think that you feel like they go hand in hand with noise because of the extreme sound?
Yeah, I mean, with what they were doing at the time, it was kind of probably, you know, people not really, because there wasn't really an extreme sound. It kind of like sort of like mid-80s, there wasn't really kind of any groups or labels working in that sort of field, and I kind of
bad.
I kind of lost interest, really. I was trying to think of anything that was going on. There was like Ultra, you know, the American Ultra. They were sort of, they were related to Dom in Germany as well. And I kind of like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was quite strange. I like the ambiguous nature of a lot of material, kind of as, I think that's probably where I kind of appreciate things a bit more, is that they're not sort of kind of in your face, and I don't really sort of...
Because they're not as judgmental, and they're more just like kind of observing?
Yeah, but it's throwing up sort of... certainly not pandering to a particular scene, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I seem to think there is now, is because, like, a lot of, I mean, people would do noise just for the sake of it.
Well, that's pretty much all the questions that I had for you. Is there anything that you wanted to add? Any news or anything going on? Anything that you want to cover?
I've got some LPs in the pipeline. I've got some collaborations. I think I'm going to be doing a collaboration with Lassie Vibe and Shinflug Group.
Okay.
But I don't think they'll be Future, rather they'll be under my own name.
I've got an LP coming out on
Dogma Chase, Molehill label.
Oh,
so
sweet, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm quite pleased about it. It's kind of quite, I still need to sort of, there's so much noise that I need to get out still, so it's not a case of, you know, I can't see myself ever
focusing solely on that.
No, there'll still be the noise aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you'll see me tonight, you know, and yep. I'd still, you know, it's still very important for me to churn it out. But, you know, as long as, like I say, I still want to do noise, but it's got to be fresh. If it stops being fresh, I've, kind of reached the dead end.